In the middle of a storm, louder and loud, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeat, the King is alive. Here we go.
There's no broken body. Let hope arise. Yeah. could feel that as they were singing it. As they were singing it, I just placed my hand on my body and I said, thank you, God. You are my comfort. Did you feel it as they were singing those words? He's my comfort. He's my comfort. I want to share a scripture with you this morning that touched my heart this week, but also especially over the weekend. This weekend, I realized in the marriage conference, it was such a blessing to me. But let me just read this scripture. You'll agree. I've got a story to tell. Have you ever been, some of you have been on a field trip with the school. Some of you are teachers. And you know how you do. It feels like every 5 minutes, you're scanning and you're counting those heads. You don't want to lose anybody. You know, you don't want to lose anybody in the museum in Norfolk when you're from Hertford County. You go to Asheville to the zoo. You don't want to leave one of your kids standing there looking at the giraffes to get on the bus and realize, oh my goodness, I've lost one. Do you know where I'm going? You do. You do. Then Jesus told this parable. We've all seen it. You'll see it again at Easter, the Easter egg hunt. You'll see Miranda step outside the edge and glance that crowd. And the next time you'll look, Gary will be on the other side and he'll be glancing. And you know what they're doing? Counting heads. They're counting heads. Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, does he give up? No. When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders right near his voice and goes home. He takes him home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This weekend, we had an awesome marriage conference. If you missed it, you missed it. And those that are there will have follow-up sessions. So we'll be connecting with those. But the wonderful thing about it was one of these couples came, and you know how pastors do. We aren't counting heads. Yes, we are. We're going to see you. If you slip out to the bathroom, we're going to check to see if you came back. That's kind of the way it was there. I glanced and I saw people's faces. Some of them were in deep, deep concentration of what was being said. Some of them were taking notes. Some of them were laughing and punching their mate. Some of them were there without their mate because they were determined. They were determined, my marriage is going to be better. So I'm going to do my part, whether he or she comes with me. Amen? But the next day, as we sat down and I was scanning those faces and seeing those connections, oh my goodness, we were just sharing about things that had hit our heart the day before. So 9 o'clock in the morning, we're eating all of Darlene and her crowd, Melissa, all of their goodies they had laid out for us, and we were connecting. Oh, did you hear when he said? Did you hear when she said? This stuck in my heart. This stuck in me. I thought about it throughout the night. That's kind of the conversations that were going on. But I glanced. One of the couples did not come back alone. They brought another couple because it was that good. They were that shepherd saying, if this is going to bless me, if this is going to change me, I want to pull somebody with me. Are we like that? Are we like that? Are we saying, this is getting good. This is changing my heart. This is changing my motives. This is changing my plans to His plans. And I'm going to take somebody with me. We've got to be that person that leaves this congregation and pulls those that need Christ in. Come with me. Come with me. We had a good time last night, but there's going to be new stuff today. Come with me. It's as simple as a request, asking. And they may not come this time, but they may come next time. We don't know how many times this couple said, come. We don't know how many times this couple has sat down and eaten with this other couple and said, let me tell you what the Bible says. We don't know those things. It may not have been the first time they asked them to come. It may have been the 31st time they asked them to come. But no longer is that person out there. They have been deposited into. They have had. They have learned. They have heard. And that's what we also need to do. Jesus is our shepherd. He will leave the ones that are doing well, and He will go after that one that's not. But how do we make sure we aren't the ones that strain? How do we make sure we're not straying? Is anybody feeling that? Is anybody realizing that? Sometimes we ourselves, we feel so comfortable with where we are in the pew that we also veer off and stray. And then God calls us back through devotion or through somebody texting us saying, where are you? Where are you? You're not here with the family. You're not here with the 99. We miss you. God is calling us today to stay connected, to allow that comfort in ourselves. Do we ever, ever just get lax about it? We shouldn't, but we do. That's why this morning on this front pew, thinking, God, You are my comforter. Woo. You know, just put it in. Just put it in. Let me feel that comfort today. Let me feel Your Holy Spirit today. Let me acknowledge You are my comforter. And when I stray away, You come and get me. You send somebody to speak into me. You send somebody to say, hey, You. Yes. Amen. Use those times. Acknowledge those times when we have connection and fellowship and when we have the deep studies and the conferences. Acknowledge that God is saying, learn this, grow up, be a mature Christian, and reach out and bring somebody with you. Doesn't it sound simple when you say it in words? When you read it in the Bible, it's such a comfort to us, but we have to put some feet. We have to put some feet on those things. God is our comforter. He loves us so much that He allows the others to wait. You know, because they're safer in a large crowd. The 99 are much safer than the one alone. A wolf or the prey will attack that one person, that one sheep. It will be attacked easier because, I mean, the wolf says, huh, there's only one. They have no defense. I got this. And woof. But you take a crowd of sheep, the 99, and you let a wolf come by, and you know what? You'll start seeing them move. Anybody in here herdsmen, you'll start seeing them move together. They'll start staying, and they'll even guide their younger. They'll even guide their younger. Let's learn from this today. I am encouraged today by the weekend. I'm encouraged today by the praise and worship team that have brought us to this moment that we can ask God, God, be with us. Be my comforter. Right now in your seats, I'm going to pray, and then they're going to sing again. And I want you to acknowledge He is your comfort. And He loves you so much that He will leave 99 and get that one. That's love. That's love. Some of us would say, ah, it's just one. I still got 99. Oh, no. Oh, no. God doesn't do that to us. Lord, we come to you. We thank you that you are our comfort, our shield, our protector. Lord, you're the shepherd that will leave that flock and go after us when we stray. Lord, you will send people in our path to remind us, hey, hey, where are you? But God, you know where we are at all times. Continue, Lord, to draw us, to keep us, and to remind us, Lord, to gather and to follow you, to stay and allow your comfort to be the cleansing that our bodies need, our souls need, our inner beings need, our emotions need, and Lord, to be the balm that just heals all those things. We come to you acknowledging that you are our good shepherd. We thank you, Lord, that you will take us. You will put us around your neck, and we will hear your voice. We will hear your voice speaking over us. Lord, as we sit down and read a devotion, that you will embed that in our hearts. You will bring that back to our minds, and you will keep us connected with you because you love us. You care about us. And Lord, you want us to be fed. You want us to be nourished. You want us to have cool waters that are without disease or without poisons. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who is our shepherd. We give you praise and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Always hold
always.
I want to welcome you if you're a first-time guest with us. And so after the services, you'll meet us at the Welcome Center right out there in the middle. We'd love to give you a gift and just chat for a few minutes to just meet one another. And we'd love for you to make this your home church. We hope you will. And at this time, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Just another way of worshiping, of doing what God requires of us and what He asks us to do. Let's pray over this offering. Father, we thank You. Your mercy is new and fresh every day. You are our comforter. You are our shepherd. You're the rock of our salvation. We thank You, Father, for all that You're doing in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that even though the difficult times come, You draw us into Yourself and You provide that comfort within us. You are our comforter. We give You praise. We give You honor. Utilize the funds that You have gifted us with, have given to us for Your glory, for Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord, somebody. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not alone. Amen. It's wonderful to have the presence of God in your life. It's wonderful to be a part of a Christian fellowship where you have other believers and like precious faith to fan the flame in your life and encourage you. It's wonderful to be a part of a Christian family. Amen. Praise God. I want to share with you just a few pictures I got early this morning. Our team is on the ground in Africa. They have been working hard this week. This is Roger. He's ministering to kids. He's going to minister in 4 services today. Different ages each time. He took about 350 or 400 crosses with him to give away to the children. So basically, he's laying the foundation for them on the greatest story ever told, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's Roger. And he's so excited about what God is doing through him. I remember him asking, Pastor, am I too old to go on this trip? Amen. So you tell me, okay? He's preaching the gospel today 4 times, okay? This next picture is Joel Tapscott preaching at an Assemblies of God church this morning with 800 in attendance. Come on. 800 in attendance. And this next picture is, you see the roof above their head? This is a miracle. Just Wednesday or Thursday, there was nothing there. Nothing there on the ground. They cut trees down right where this building is. There were several large trees. They cut the trees down Thursday. A team of about 30 men raised this building up in 2 days, okay? 2 days. Put a roof on it. Now the African people are laying brick around it. But Friday night, they had a gathering, and 300 people walked to this church. 300 people. Amen? 300 people. They walked. And they had a young man, a young boy who's was blind, and God opened his eyes so that he can see. They had a lady who her husband was the like the president, and he died just a year or so ago, and she had not been able to see to do anything. She wasn't blind, but she wasn't able, because of her vision, she wasn't able to do anything. She just saw things very, very fuzzy, so she couldn't get around very well, and God just gave her sight back. And salvations and healings, and Pastor Mike told me, he said, the amazing thing is there's not a one of us that hasn't laid our hands on sick people and seen them made whole. People encouraged, filled with the Holy Spirit, healed in their bodies, and amazing faith. And so not only did they get to build this building, they saw God fill it up. In fact, there are people on the outside of the building that'll seat about 200. And the first service they had, only 20 people showed up. And then the next service they had 200. And then this morning they had over 300 to come to worship. Amen. Amen. No marketing or anything like that. It's like it was when I was in India. All you had to do is just be preaching and have a microphone, and people would come out of the woodwork. So they've got a lot of work to do. This coming week, they're going to build another church, not one that we paid for. We're paying for this one. But they asked them, since you guys worked so well, would you build another one this week? So somebody else paid for another church, and our guys are going to put it up. The sad thing is on Thursday when they were working, they worked so many hours that day, and there were 25 or 30 of them building this building. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, one of the guys who was working on this building died. And so they had a chance to, you know, to minister to that family. They literally went to the house and prayed that God would raise him up. You know, he was just laying in his home, deceased. And of course, Pastor Mike said, you know, we didn't get the answer that we wanted, but we still have faith that God's going to do incredible things this week. So sometimes you don't always get the answer that you want. And but God's doing incredible things to this team, and so we're privileged to be able to send them there and see God do some amazing work. What a partnership. Assemblies of God is there on the ground. The missionaries that we support right here, Kevin and Mariah Carey, are responsible for this team. It was a first experience for them. Somebody say first. It was the first experience for them having a team of Americans to come over. My heart is full today to be able to be the first team that these missionaries are able to receive from America and to see God do such incredible things. It was a stretch for them, but they just took care of things so well. No problems, no problems with our team. Everything's going along well. The guys are healthy, and they're seeing God do some incredible things. Come on, can we praise the Lord together this morning? Thank you for your giving toward this. We sent the money, you know, but we're still in our budget of the whole trip. We spent about $17,000. So we're a good ways there, but we're not quite finished yet. So if God speaks to your heart to give, just put mission on there. And we are going to see God take care of this thing all together. So thank you for your faithfulness. God is good. He is. He's really good. And it's really all the time. Praise the Lord. Well, we're in a series. Today's the last day for our March series, Who's Your Daddy? Come on. We have experienced the names of God, and I chose, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I chose some of the, to me, more powerful names. And we're just believing God to speak to your heart and my heart today, and also the people that are watching online. Thank you, online audience. Faithful to be with us week after week after week. Psalm 23 from the New Living Translation this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Some of y'all in this room today need a peaceful stream. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. There are some of you here today, some of you listening online, that you're not going down the right path. The Bible says that he guides me along right paths. bringing honor to his name. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me right in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Father, I pray that you would just accomplish in the hearts of your people tremendous faith. Faith to believe that your guidance is ours. Faith to believe that you will open our eyes to see the right path. Faith to believe that you will stretch out your hand and pull us from the realm of uncertainty and unsafety to a good place. And we give you thanks for all these things in Jesus' name, mighty and strong. Amen and amen. Well, we've seen the nature and the character of God in his names. I love seeing those places where many, many years ago I used to wonder, what does that mean? Every time you're reading the Bible and you see all capital letters, L-O-R-D. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see all caps. You see a capital L, small O-R-D, that's Adonai. That's another name of God. But if you see all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is an appearance of the name of the Lord. We say it in our vernacular, Jehovah. That's really a man-made term, because the real reality of that is it's Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, no vowels. The scribes would come along in those days and they would point a pronunciation beneath the bottom line. So it's Y-H-W-H, and they put a there, somewhat similar to ours, and an E, so it's Yahweh, and we somehow Latinized that. I think Pastor Bernie brought that out to us a couple of weeks ago. It's a Latinized version where we end up with the term Jehovah, okay? But his name is Yahweh. We looked over the last few weeks at the names of God, and literally, L-O-R-D, capital letters, shows up on the pages of the Bible 6,800 times. His name is in the book. 6,800 times. And we first looked at El Shaddai. He's the one that is the all-sufficient God. Remember that message? El Shaddai, the word Shad is the same word for breast, as if a mother is nursing the kid to nutrition and health. And how many of you know mama has more than enough? Come on. She does. She has more than enough for this child. So much so that if you're a nursing mom today, you know that doctors and medical people have made it available for you to pump and put your milk away in the freezer. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? We have more than enough. We don't have just enough. Oh, thank God, I just had enough to feed. No, no, you have more than enough. And so you put it away. You put it in the freezer and you save it for the future. So he's El Shaddai. For you and I, God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. And then we saw that he's Jehovah Jireh, the God who does what? He provides, the one who will always have a ram in the bush when we have offered sacrificially our own on the altars of God. God who provides supernaturally, spiritually, physically, emotionally. His name is Jireh. He's provider. Last week we looked at Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And we learned that you can only truly have peace if you have the Prince of Peace in your heart. You may be sitting here today, you may be listening online, and things may not be going well for you. Can I just encourage you that the only way things are ever going to go well is when the peace of God is ruling and reigning your heart through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not possible. You'll never have peace in your life until you settle the account with God, your Creator, and the peace of God will overshadow your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Today we look at Jehovah Raha. Ra'ah. That's hard to say. I remember being in Bible college. It's not the most collegiate means of learning a term, but there was a lot of things I was forced to do in Bible college, and one of them was to study and inside and out the names of God, all of them. And I remember getting to Jehovah Ra'ah, and you know, I have a hard time even saying that. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Jehovah Ra'ah. So the professor, Dr. Michael Dusing, who's gone on to be with the Lord now, he was a great teacher. He was like a basketball player in figure. He was like 6 feet, 7 inches tall walking the campus. You always saw him. And he was a wonderful gentleman. He went on to be with the Lord because of MS. He had MS. Pastor Joy and I had the privilege of being in his home and eating. And I was an older student, so I somehow made my way to the personal lives of some of the professors there. And God was good to us in that regard. I wasn't a college student, you know, right out of high school. I was married, 2 kids, when I went to Bible college. And I ended up in Dr. Dusing's class, and he taught me the names of God. And he said, if you have a hard time with this one, let me help you. He said, he's Jehovah Ra'ah, shepherd of the sheep that go Baha. Okay, 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 thank you. Jehovah Ra'ah, shepherd of the sheep that go Baha. Okay, so he always had these little ways of teaching. Somebody say Baha. He always had these little ways of teaching, so now I've taught you. If you're just as Jehovah Ra'ah, shepherd of the sheep that go Baha, okay? So it's easy one to learn and to remember. So let's look at the nature and the character of God, who is our great what? Shepherd. The verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. It says, Jehovah Ra'ah is my shepherd. I have all that I need. One thing we learn about the 23rd Psalm is that the 23rd Psalm is a very personal psalm. Because you see, listen, 6 verses here. We're going to go through them expositionally. 6 verses here, and in those 6 verses, you count them up. There's 17 pronouns like I, me, and my. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. 17 pronouns about me, about you in 6 verses. So it's a personal psalm. David is doing the writing here. He's the one that's penned it. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's something you need to know here. David must have been in a very insecure place when he penned this. Because he declares, the Lord is my shepherd. Now he's speaking from experience. Because what was David at one time in his life? He was a shepherd boy. Okay, so he says the Lord, he's comparing. He knew what he did to protect the sheep. He knew what he did to guide the sheep. And he says, when it comes to me, I might be in the most insecure place in my life, but I'll tell you this, I know I have a shepherd. I know what I did taking care of sheep. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I did all of that to take care of the sheep that were entrusted to me. I taught them my voice. And I can say to you very confidently today, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what David is saying. You know, the Bible is clear that sheep are not bright animals. And I hate to tell you this, but we as believers, we as Christ followers, what are we labeled as in the kingdom of God? Sheep. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't bright. Come on. Now, come on. You're not bright, all right? Look at them one more time and say, you need some guidance, okay? We need guidance, don't we? Come on, we're all in this together. Pastor, he said, Pastor, oh, you know, you make yourself the shepherd. Like, we don't know nothing, and you know it all. No. I'm a sheep too, okay? I'm a sheep too. I just have the divine call on my life to be your shepherd. And if as long as I follow his leading and he's my shepherd, then I can effectively lead you in green pastures. Come on. But the moment that I get distracted and get off the path, I could easily lead you how? Astray. And so that's why you should pray for me. Pastor Joy was reeling off intercessors this morning, and she said, I know Virginia Gatlin prays for me. I know Margaret Speller prays for me. She was naming just intercessor after intercessor. And we were talking about how we were overjoyed that we are covered in prayer. Thank you so much.
for covering us in prayer, because we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He must be our shepherd so we can effectively lead you in green pastures. Now, sheep are not bright. And we know they're not bright because Isaiah, the prophet of the Old Testament, prophesied this. In chapter 53, verse number 6, look at what he says. He said, all we like sheep. Come on, look at this. All of us, just like sheep, have done what? We've gone astray. And every one of us has done what? Turned to our own way. That's not smart. You know, we've turned away from guidance. We've turned away from leadership. We've talked ourselves out of participating. We've just gone on our own sometimes and made a decision to separate ourselves. You know, every week I look at this congregation and I think, you know, I don't like empty seats. I really don't. They should be full. Why should they be full? Because we live in challenging times. We live in very difficult times. And now more than ever, the house of the living God should be running over with attendance. Why? Because people are running to the Lord. Listen, we're in a very challenging time. Did you know that right now they're projecting that we are heading for some of the most treacherous times in the globe for food? How many of you know that you got up this morning, got you something to eat, wasn't an issue, had something to eat? But they're telling us that in this past week, I read articles that you don't think anything about, that Russia's in the war and Ukraine's in the war. And how does that affect anything? Well, let me tell you something. One third of the world's wheat is supplied by two nations. You know who they are? Russia and Ukraine. Ever read in the Bible about how a loaf of bread went sky high? Come on, the price of a loaf of bread. Did you know right now in 2022, we are depleting the resources of wheat from last year? We are almost out. And the article that I read this week said 2022, the world will experience starvation again in many places. Not in America, nobody's going to starve, but you're going to have to pay a lot more for what you're eating than you're paying this week. Come on, I'm just telling you. You say, well, I ain't worried about it. I got food stamps. Don't worry about food stamps. Worry about eating. Okay? Don't place your trust in food stamps because they will let you down. That's a governmental structure that will fade away and be worthless to you. You need to learn how to provide. And listen, as long as the Lord is your shepherd, you'll have what? Everything you need. Listen, we are facing it in this world today. The wheat supplies are running out. The war is still going on. Who knows when it'll come to an end? Who knows anything about what's really going on? But we do know this. The world is affected by this war. Price of a loaf of bread is crazy already in America. You know, I just don't understand the things that are happening, but I try to watch enough and pay attention enough and read enough to get a glimpse, because people are always looking to me, Pastor, what do you think about this? And I need to have an answer for you. Come on. Need to have some sort of logical, helpful answer to somehow offer you hope. And my hope is this: the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's why it pays for us to have the shepherd in our life. You know, you and I must know that the Bible is clear that sheep are not bright. They have gone astray, Isaiah said. In other words, sheep bear this characteristic of just wandering aimlessly without direction, wandering into the midst of danger in just a moment. Sheep are helpless creatures. They have no speed like a deer, nor like a gazelle. They have no defenses. A sheep is not going to pick up his front left paw and knock you with a gut punch. It's not going to happen. He doesn't have the ability to do these things. He's not going to bite you. You know, it's not going to work like that way, because he doesn't have that defense mechanism. He needs direction. He needs help. He needs guidance. And the best of descriptions, he needs a shepherd. Amen? I've seen it many times with my own eyes in foreign countries. Been blessed to go to 29 of them, and people have goats and people have sheep. And they're always the shepherds just kind of walking along. You know, he looks like it's like it's just a job that has really no effort to it. He's walking along, and there's 150 sheep all huddled up close together, as Pastor Joy said. And what are they following? They're following his voice. The sheep are not corralled like we have our animals corralled in America. They're just running openly, and they're huddled up just as tight as they can be. They almost look like bees on a hive. They're huddled up close together, and they're being led by the shepherd because they need his guidance. And if anything other than the Lord is your shepherd, you will constantly be in want. Let me say that one more time. If anything but the Lord is your shepherd, you will constantly be in want. If work and vocation is your shepherd, you're going to run yourself into the ground. If money is your shepherd, you will spin your way to the bottom. If drugs are your shepherd, you will face destruction to be sure. In fact, you can choose any other shepherd than the Lord, and you will be in want. You will lack everything. But David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, and because it is the Lord, I have everything that I need. Come on, how many of you have what you need today? Because the Lord is your shepherd. One translation says, I shall not want. One translation says, I lack nothing. Listen, when the Lord is your shepherd, you will not lack anything. You shall not want. You'll have everything you need. Psalm 84:11 says it this way. No good thing will he withhold to them that do what? Walk uprightly. This is a conditional promise. In other words, for you to be taken care of, for you to have all of your needs met, it is a condition. You sell out your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You give yourselves to God wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and you will have what you need. Listen, you can't halfway do this thing. You can't live in the middle. You can't be a Sunday Christian and a Monday raise hell. You can't do this. You have to sell yourself out to God completely. It's more than just saying, I want him to be the Lord of my life. It's living like he is the Lord of your life. It's a decision that you have to make every day. As for me and my house, what are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. No good thing will he withhold, but it's a condition. If you're walking uprightly, you're sitting here today, you know whether you're walking uprightly or not. You know whether you're doing this thing halfway. You know whether you're living for God or not. You have a shepherd who will make sure that you will not lack a thing. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. This verse confirms what we just said about the nature of a sheep. It was Dr. George Wood, our former superintendent, who said, David confirms here that sheep without a shepherd, listen to this, these are not my words. He said, sheep without a shepherd cannot even find the basics of life, grass and water. You would think, James, if you're a farmer, you would think that if you just put the animals out there, hey, listen, they'll find some grass, they'll find some water. No, it doesn't happen that way. They need a shepherd to guide them to green pastures. They need a shepherd to lead them beside waters that are still enough where I can stick my nose in there and lap up some of it. They need that leadership. He has to have the shepherd to lead him to the pasture. He has to have the shepherd to lead him to the pools of still water to drink. He's just not equipped with the smarts to even capture the necessities of life, which is food and water. He'll lead them to the green pastures. He'll lead them to the still waters. You and I need nurture and care also. We need food. We need water. We need the nourishment of life to live. That's why Jesus is smart of you and smart of me if we receive him into our life as what? As the good shepherd. John 6:35 says this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Come on. If you receive Jesus Christ into your life, the real deep hungers that you have for life and living, the real deep thirst that you have for a peaceful life, a secure life, you'll never thirst again. Verse 3 says, he renews my strength. Verse 3 said, he guides me along right paths. How many of y'all have been down wrong paths? Come on, let me see your hand. I've been there. I've been down wrong paths. I've been down wrong paths and knew I was down wrong paths. Amen? And I've been down wrong paths. Hear me, friends. Listen to me, young person. I've been down wrong paths. And I knew I was down the wrong path, and I swore and I declared and I promised myself, after tonight, I'm not going down this path again. And all it took was a ring from someone. Hey, Buzz, what you doing, man? I said, hey, nothing, studying for a test. Why don't you come with us? Beer is cheap tonight at Edwards Grocery. 25-cent draft a cup, 25 cents a cup. And I take right off and meet them there. Why? Because it's easy to go down the wrong path. It's easy. It's very easy to wander down the wrong path. And it's not easy to go down the right path. In fact, it's so not easy that you can't do it by yourself. You have to have what? A shepherd. Come on. You have, why? Because you're dumb, okay? And I'm dumb. And I just, listen, I know this is wrong, but I keep doing it over and over again. But once I sell my life out to the shepherd and I recognize that he leads me to the green pastures and he leads me beside still waters and he will lead me to the right paths, then I just follow him. Amen? Man, I'm so amazed at how I've been serving the Lord, and I've been in ministry for over 40 years, and I still need the leadership and the guidance of the great shepherd of my soul. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? After all these years, I still need the leadership of the shepherd in my life. We always do. We listen, if we did what we wanted to do in the natural, we'd just do what we wanted to do and disregard everything else. But when we let the shepherd lead us, we will be on the right paths. The science world confirms that sheep will not even have the capability, listen to this, of returning to the worn path. How many of you know that after